Do you have an issues, etc. story to tell? We want to hear from you. Tell us your issues, etc. story by calling our comment line before Thursday, April 7th, 618-223-8384. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Now, the listener with the best story will receive the first three Issues, Etc. books of the month for this year. 618-223-8384. 618-223-8384.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I know what it's like when you're doing Bible study, especially when you feel like you're skimming the surface of a book or of a particular passage. In radio, I know what that's like because the clock is always against you. There's never enough time to go as deep as you want to go. That's part of the reason we do Issues, Etc. 24 every year here on Issues, Etc. 24 hours of live Bible study. Starting this Friday, by the way, at 4 p.m. Central until Saturday, 4 p.m. Central, we're going to do 12 books of the Bible, and we're going to devote 2 hours to each book with its guest over those 24 hours, a chance to go in-depth, far more in-depth than you'll hear regularly here on Issues, Etc. It's something very special for our listeners, Issues, Etc. 24. I encourage you to listen, issuesetc.org, starting Friday, 4 p.m., this very Friday, 4 p.m. Central, running for 24 hours. You can come and go. You don't have to listen to the whole thing. No one expects you to. We have to be here for the whole thing, but you don't have to listen to the whole thing. You come and go as you please, and it'll all be available on demand after Issues, Etc. 24 closes up Saturday, 4 o'clock Central. Issues, Etc. 24, find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. There's a video right there on the homepage for you to watch. It'll tell you all about Issues, Etc. 24, 4 p.m. Central this Friday. Joining us to talk about the battle in the Presbyterian Church USA over openly homosexual pastors, Alan Wisdom. He's Vice President and Director of Presbyterian Action for Faith and Freedom at the institution, the Institute on Religion and Democracy based in Washington, D.C. Alan, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Pleased to be with you, Todd.
This is, if I count correctly, the fourth time that homosexual clergy has been approved by the leadership of the Presbyterian Church USA, and the previous three times they have struck out with the presbyteries. Are the chances better this time than before?
It certainly looks so. The vote right now among the presbyteries is 74 to 57 to delete the church's standard of fidelity in the marriage of a man and a woman, or chastity and singleness, and 87 affirmative votes are required. So it is not looking good for that biblical fidelity and chastity standard this time so far.
When this has been done most recently in the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, a church body about twice the size, if I'm not mistaken, of the Presbyterian Church USA today, there were significant, not large, but significant exoduses of individual congregations, groups of congregations from that church body. Would you expect the same thing to happen with the Presbyterian Church USA?
Well, I think what happens is what Jesus talks about in the Gospel of John, when the thief or the wolf gets into the sheepfold, that the sheep are scattered and fall prey. And I think if this were to pass, we would see a scattering of Presbyterians. Some of them would leave the denomination with their congregations and perhaps go to other church bodies. Some of them would leave individually. There would also be a lot of congregations that might stay within the denomination, but would distance themselves from it and would be much less involved with it. And so there would be the sense of a kind of despairing turning in on themselves.
What do you think accounts for the difference this time around, the real possibility that over half of the presbyteries would approve openly homosexual clergy in the Presbyterian Church USA?
I don't think that there are large numbers of people who have been convinced that homosexual and other non-marital relationships are blessings of God. And I should add that it's not just about homosexuality. It's also about heterosexuals living together outside of marriage. I think what's happened is that the people who hold to biblical teachings have become discouraged. They have seen the erosion of marriage in the general society and have come to think that it's inevitable that that is going to triumph in the church. And so many of them have not shown up to vote, or if they do vote, perhaps they vote to delete the standard, thinking that they might as well go along. It's inevitable, and that's deeply discouraging, because I think people should know better, and this is not going to bring prosperity to the church.
What kind of arguments are being made in the Presbyterian Church USA in favor of gay pastors, and how would you refute these arguments?
It's presented as a matter of justice that we are that we are all equal in Christ. We have all been received in baptism, and so therefore all people should be eligible to serve in the church. And the argument is that people in same-sex relationships love one another just as much as people in heterosexual relationships, so why should we draw any distinction here? And I think what this forgets is simply that Scripture does draw a distinction and does say that God has set aside marriage as the way in which we are to express our sexual desires and the way in which we are to be blessed by God in bringing together man and woman. And so it's appropriate to make distinctions on that basis. And this is not an equivalent to the male-female distinction where there's no sin in being a man or a woman. It's simply God created men and women because it's a useful diversity, and likewise racial distinctions. There's no sin in being white or black or Asian or Hispanic. These are different groups of people that God created for good purposes, but in terms of sexuality, there's a right way to do it and there are wrong ways to do it.
How would you respond to Janet Edwards of More Light Presbyterians? It's an activist group that's been pushing for the ordination of homosexuals in the PCUSA. She says, so far the majority of Presbyterians are voting to return to the tradition of rooting ordination in a person's call from God and their gifts to engage in ministry. Finally, we may allow faithful and qualified LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered Presbyterians to serve the church with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love. Is it true that the majority of Presbyterians in the Presbyterian Church USA favor this?
No. Surveys that have been done of church members indicate that the majority of church members, 60% or more, continue to be in favor of the biblical standard of fidelity in marriage or chastity and singleness. These votes are being taken among church leaders, half of whom are ministers, and so they aren't necessarily representative in that way. This is not returning to a previous pattern. It is true that prior to the 1970s, there was no explicit language regarding ordination, barring people in homosexual relationships, but that was because it was unnecessary. Everyone understood that every biblical passage that deals with homosexuality is negative towards the practice, and no part of the Christian tradition had ever considered homosexual relations to be a blessing of God. So, indeed, ordination is about a calling of God, and God's calling can come to all different kinds of persons, but we have always understood that calling is expressed in gifts of the Spirit that are shown in a life that honors Christ by being lived in accordance with His commands. And Christ and the apostles were very clear that the commandment was to abstain from fornication, which is sex outside of marriage. That is a way that we honor God, because marriage is the relationship that parallels God's love for His people by being an exclusive union, permanent union of two unlikes. And so in our marital relationships, we reflect God's love, and homosexual relationships do not reflect God's love in that same way. And so those who are called of God need to follow that pattern.
You have said that this move, if successful in the Presbyterian Church USA, will lead to cultural irrelevance. What do you mean and why? With about a minute here, Alan.
Our culture has bought the idea that all you need is love, love defined as just a subjective feeling of affection for one another, and we've lost the idea that marriage is something special that reflects the character of God. And if the church ceases to teach that, it really has nothing to offer to people in the culture who are caught in this sexual confusion, and so many of them are destroyed by all of the suffering that comes upon them by departing from God's good pattern of marriage.
Alan Wisdom is Vice President and Director of Presbyterian Action for Faith and Freedom for the Institute on Religion and Democracy, based in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to the Institute on Religion and Democracy under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Alan, thank you very much for your time. Keep up the good work.
Well, thank you, Todd, and blessings to you.
When we come back on this Tuesday afternoon, we're going to be talking with Dr. Gene Edward Veith of Patrick Henry College about Christianity and the arts, taking the occasion of tomorrow's remembrance of Reformation artists Lucas Cranach and Albrecht Dürer to talk about Christianity and the arts today and in the past. Dr. Gene Edward Veith after the break. This idea that all we need is love certainly is well-intentioned, but it misdefines what love is. The church is to exercise the love of God for all people, but that love comes in the form of the forgiveness of sins. So in order to be a proper recipient of the kind of love that God has given to the world through the church, you first have to be a sinner. That includes sinners like me and the sins of homosexuality. All of us are in the same boat, all needing the same Savior, Jesus Christ. Now that's the kind of love we all need. We'll be right back to talk with Dr. Gene Edward Veith about Christianity and the arts.
Greetings from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church, Muskuta, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues, etc. Zion Lutheran is a welcoming, family-friendly church that's firmly grounded on the unchanging truth of God's Word. We receive God's gifts of grace in a timeless, reverent way each Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Zion Lutheran is located at 101 South Railway in Muskuta, Illinois. Zion Lutheran is a church home that's both faithful and friendly, and you'll be warmly welcomed. For more information, call 618-566-7345.
Do you have an Issues Etc. story to tell? We want to hear from you. Tell us your Issues Etc. story by calling our comment line before Thursday, April 7th, 618-223-8384. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. Now, the listener with the best story will receive the first three Issues Etc. books of the month for this year. 618-223-8384. 618-223-8384.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Exposing Planned Parenthood.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
In an ongoing effort to get the federal government to stop funding Planned Parenthood, several prominent pro-life organizations have formed a new coalition called Expose Planned Parenthood. The group consists of Live Action, the Susan B. Anthony List, 40 Days for Life, Concerned Women for America, Students for Life of America, and Family Research Council Action. The coalition recently released secretly recorded videos showing Planned Parenthood employees aiding individuals pretending to be sex traffickers who exploit underage girls. The coalition has also organized over 200 vigils outside of Planned Parenthood clinics.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.